Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Dan Trotter, Pretty Good Bible Studies. I'm going to cover in this audio Psalms chapter 64. I will give it the title, Hide Me from the Wicked. The heading of this psalm is simply For the Director of Music, a Psalm of David. So we will assume that David wrote this psalm. We start now in Psalms 64, verses 1 through 4. David is praying to God, and he says this, Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity, who have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow to shoot from concealment at the blameless. Suddenly they shoot at him and do not fear. Now here David is complaining by his own admission. In verse 1 he says, Hear my voice, O God, in my complaint. He admits he's complaining. He's not shy about bringing his complaints to God. Here's some other Davidic psalms where David complains to God. Psalms 22:1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from my deliverance and from my words of groaning? That's a complaint. Psalms 10, verse 1. Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Psalms 10 does not have David named as the author in the heading, but Psalms 9 is probably to be attached to Psalm 10, and Psalm 9 does have David as the author. Psalms 10 is attached to Psalm 9 in the Septuagint, and also there's an acrostic where each verse starts with a letter, and the letters continue from Psalm 9 to Psalm 10, showing that they should be the same psalm. So we're going to assume that Psalm 10 is also a psalm of David, and he's complaining there too. Lord, why do you stand so far away? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Now, this is interesting. David is complaining. We normally say we should not complain. We should have a stiff upper lip, be cheerful all the time. I even said so in one of my previous audios when David says, I will rest in silence. I said, see there, he's not complaining all the time about how everything's bad. But now here he is complaining. Now, I'm going to give you a great quote from a brother named John Bloom, writing for Desiring God, John Piper's organization. Bloom says this, In these laments, the writer pours out to God his sorrow, Psalms 137, his anger, Psalms 140, his fear, Psalm 69, his longing, Psalm 85, his confusion, Psalm 102, his desolation in Psalm 22, his repentance in Psalm 51, his disappointment in Psalm 74, his depression in Psalm 88, either because of external evil or internal evil or darkness. As we have said earlier, this book of Psalms is not about theology so much as it is about emotions. Bloom goes on to say in his article, God expects us to frequently experience pain and therefore frequently express our pain to him. God wants us to pour out our complaints to him and tell him our troubles. Remember that old country hymn, that Pentecostal hymn, Have a Little Talk with Jesus and we'll tell him all about our troubles. Wonderful hymn, wonderful song, which of course your average Reformed church will never hear or never play. Bloom quotes another psalm. Psalms 142, verse 2. The author of this psalm is David, and he says, I pour out my complaint before him. I reveal my trouble to him. So this is a great application point here. If you got something that's bugging you, tell God about it. Don't say, oh, God's too busy for me. He's got to run the universe. He doesn't want to hear about my troubles. Oh, yes, he does. Pour out your complaint before him, as David did. In verse 1, David continues praying to God, Preserve my life from dread of the enemy. Which enemy? As the NIV Study Bible says, it is difficult to link this psalm to any specific time. Well, that's good, because it saves us trouble. David had plenty of enemies all the time. Verse 2, he says, Hide me from the secret counsel of evildoers, from the tumult of those who do iniquity. Now he's talking about people plotting against him, secret counsels. Verse 3, these plotters have sharpened their tongue like a sword. They aimed bitter speech as their arrow. So there we have speech likened to military weapons, swords and arrows. Offensive weapons come to cut David down. So, this idea that sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me is an absolute lie. Words can hurt you. Words are actionable at law if those words are defamatory. You can get sued for libel. You can get sued for slander. David uses this metaphor of hostile speech being like military weapons. He does it in two psalms here, at least. Psalm 57:4, my soul is among lions. I must lie among those who breathe forth fire. Even the sons of men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and their tongue a sharp sword. Their tongue is a sharp sword because it's speaking, this tongue is speaking evil words against David. David says in Psalms 59:7, behold, they belch forth with their mouth, his enemies. Swords are in their lips. So the tongue is a sword, the lips are swords, and swords are dangerous. And verse 4, David says the arrows of his enemies are shot from concealment at the blameless. He's referring to himself as blameless. And of course, that does not mean that David is perfectly blameless without sin, like Adam was before he ate the fruit. It means, as John Gill points out, that David was blameless in what he was being accused of by his enemies. We go now to Psalm 64:5-10. They, that's David's enemies, encourage each other in an evil plan. They talk about hiding traps and say, who will see them? They devise crimes and say, we have perfected a secret plan. The inner man and the heart are mysterious, but God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be wounded. They will be made to stumble. Their own tongues work against them. All who see them will shake their heads. Then everyone will fear and will tell about God's work, for they will understand what he has done. The righteous one rejoices in the Lord and takes refuge in him. All those who are upright in heart will offer praise. Now these evil people are seen to be conspiring to do evil more than actually doing evil. They have an evil plan. They have perfected a secret plan. They devise crimes. Conspiracy to murder is just as bad as murder itself. And it's also actionable at law. These conspirators say in verse 5, who will see our plans? That reminds us of David, who said in Psalms 10:11, he, the enemy, says to himself, God has forgotten. He has hidden his face. He will never see it. Oh, yes, he will. God will see it. David says at the end of verse 6, the inner man and the heart are mysterious. The NIV has cunning. The NASB says the inner man and the heart are deep. What David is saying is even though his enemies are conspiring in secret, nevertheless, God, who is omniscient, will shoot them, even though they're hiding. Verse 7, God will shoot them with arrows. Suddenly they will be wounded. While they're making their evil plans, all of a sudden, whoop, where did those arrows come from? Ah, they got me. They will be made to stumble. Their own tongues work against them. Their plottings, their counsels, their curses, which they had formed against David, will fall instead on their own heads. They will be hoisted on their own petard, like Haman in the book of Esther. Hoisted on their own gallows, like Haman was when he prepared those gallows for Mordecai. David says in Psalms 10:2, in pride, the wicked hotly pursue the afflicted. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. In other words, they scheme and all of a sudden, oops, the scheme is boomeranged on us and we are caught. At the end of verse 8, David says, all who see them will shake their heads. Of course, shaking their head means, oh my gosh, look what's happened to them. We do the same thing even in modern times. Verse 9, then everyone will fear and will tell about God's work, for they will understand what he has done. In other words, God's destruction of the unrighteous will be an example of his justice, and then everybody will understand devising crimes in secret is a bad thing to do. Verse 10, David says, the righteous one rejoices in the Lord and takes refuge in him. All those who are upright in heart will offer praise. The NIV translates a little bit differently. The NIV says, let all the upright in heart praise him, hortatory, let them do it. The Holman Christian Study Bible says, they will do it. They will offer praise to God. And once again, David has ended on an upright note, and we are finished with Psalm 64. I entitled this psalm, Hide Me from the Wicked, but as I think about it, maybe I should have called it, Pour Out Your Complaints to God. Complain to him. I don't know, that might have led to misunderstanding, but it is interesting. The main point of this psalm is it is perfectly okay when things are not going well to pour out your griefs to God, because in this life, things will very rarely go as you want them to. So ladies and gentlemen, we have finished Psalm 64. We are ready now to go to Psalm 65, which I will call, O God of Our Salvation. I hope you stay tuned for that audio, and I hope you enjoyed this one.